Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The Qatari-based council has said that armed jihad against Israel is apparently an obligation. The fatwa issued by a clerical council belonging to the Muslim Brotherhood describes Israel as an infidel enemy, deems armed jihad against Israel incumbent upon all Muslims. Now, this is a very, very disturbing, maybe unsurprising, but very disturbing statement that is being reported. Well, the guy behind the article and who did the research is Ohad Merlin. He is a Middle East affairs correspondent for the Jerusalem Post. Ohad, a very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Good morning, Bokel Tov. Thanks so much for having me.
A great pleasure. Ohad, give us the context around the story and what this really means.
Right. So this is a fatwa, just like a psak in Judaism. It's a religious decree. It was issued by a council that has its base in Doha in Qatar. It's called the International Union of Muslim Scholars, IUMS. It was formed in 2004 by Sheikh Yusuf Qaradawi. He's a very, very notorious and revered religious leader. Within the Muslim Brotherhood world, he's known in Israel as the religious authority who allowed, endorsed, and promoted Hamas's suicide bombings against Israelis.
Wow!
So he both encouraged the suicide itself and declared open season on any Israeli from any
and all ages. So it's not his first rodeo.
Right, right. So he's been dead for the past 2-3 years, but his spirit lingers on, as we can see.
As one does.
And what this fatwa said, it was a very long one. It had 13 or 14 different issues that they spoke about. But what it said mainly is that armed jihad is incumbent upon each and every Muslim. There's a difference in Islam between an obligation for the klal, for everyone, and an obligation on each and every one. So when we talk about jihad, there's offensive jihad and defensive jihad. So for them, the jihad against Israel would be a defensive jihad because they see Israel as you know, an usurping entity who took Palestine, etc. So so now they say that the chidush, the big new thing for them, is that this is a incumbent upon each and every Muslim. It also talked about how normalization of ties with Israel is religiously prohibited. Anyone who normalizes it is doing an avera, right?
I love how you're juxtaposing it against halachic Jewish halachic requirements.
Exactly.
It's very funny. I'm enjoying that. Yeah.
It also has calls to besiege Israel by land, air, and water, boycott energy to Israel, calling to form an international Muslim force to combat Israel, and what was for me even more striking is that it deems Israel an infidel enemy. Now Islam has varying views for Jews, but saying that Jews are infidels, I think it's kind of not very orthodox, and usually they look at Jews as monotheistic, as not infidels, and this is, I think it's a very, very strong wording to talk about Jews.
How significant a statement is this in terms of Qatar, in terms of the Muslim world? In other words, taking it back to the Jewish analogy, is this a fringe? Is this a mad fringe, or is this mainstream?
So this is not at all fringe. The Muslim Brotherhood is very, very strong across the Islamic world, and also within Muslim populations outside of the Muslim world. South Africa also has Muslim Brotherhood in South Africa. I think they were also related to the conversion of Mandla Mandela into Islam. So this is it's not fringe. It's very, very widespread. I can't say in terms of numbers or percentage, but it's tens of millions or hundreds of millions of followers across the world. It's not to say that, you know, they saw this decree and now they'll go and fight in jihad, but it's very common, and it's also very important. It shapes people's views, right? So if now jihad, armed jihad against Israel will be a religious obligation, then anyone who would go and do it will be revered as someone who did something that's religiously encouraged. So it's very widespread. Qatar is a very, very strong country when it comes to the Muslim Brotherhood. They're behind their media and their religious struggles and everything. Qatar is always there. So it's very widespread. It's troubling.
There's been disturbingly little since October the 7th written about the Muslim Brotherhood. It sneaks into articles here and there, but somehow it gets close to the surface, might bubble up and then goes down again. Why is it that there isn't a discussion, a mainstream discussion about the Muslim Brotherhood?
I 100% agree. I think a lot of it has to do with the growing fear of being tagged as Islamophobe nowadays. The Muslim Brotherhood is a very, very salient and prominent way of thinking inside the Muslim world, and it's a very troubling ideology. We're talking about an ideology that strives to build an Islamic state, an Islamic caliphate. Some of them are more soft than the other. Some say we have to fight to do it. That's the jihadist part. Others say, no, we have to preach and we have to come closer to other minorities, etc. But it's at the end of the day, it's the same goal. And not many people are talking about it, maybe because they're fearing, I don't know, being tagged as Islamophobes. Also, I think it's very complicated to talk about, you know, the ideologies behind the groups. Hamas is the Muslim Brotherhood branch in Palestine. That's how they call themselves. And Qatar is a patron of the Muslim Brotherhood. So that's something, these are things that we have to say every time we talk about Hamas, about Qatar, right, about jihad. Yeah, I agree.
Qatar has spent a lot of energy/money on trying to improve its image in the world in terms of the negotiation, their role in the negotiation, in terms of how they are managing this, and it's been a very, very careful balance that they've had to play. Does this impact them in terms of that reputation? And if so, how do they deal with it?
I would hope that it would affect them. Unfortunately, they're so well immersed in everything, in economies, in even in real estate. So, you know, you look at Britain, at America, you see that they're very, very well immersed there. It should impact how people view them. Qatar tends to portray itself as the one who brought upon the saving of some of the hostages. But we have to say, frankly, that without Qatar, there wouldn't have been hostages, because Qatar has been hosting Hamas for the past decade and a half. They've been helping them. They've been promoting them. Again, they're the same ideology. It's also the Muslim Brotherhood. And we have to also stress that Qatar is not responsible for deals of releasing hostages for in exchange of for murderers and terrorists. Qatar are responsible for the very fact that there are hostages in the first place, and they don't seem to be able to understand that. I have yet to see any Qatari statement that denounces Hamas or denounces the raping and the kidnapping that happened on October 7th. Yeah, so we have to talk about Qatar more and more and more and more.
Yeah, and whilst I have you on I see that there's a push in the UK to legitimize Hamas and say, well, they're not a terror organization; they're in fact a liberation organization. And I have no doubt that a lot of the discussion is going to center around the word jihad. Because we are often told, no, we're misunderstanding it. It's a holy war, a fight for good. It's not necessarily an armed fight the way we understand it. Can you explain that to us, please?
Well, technically, jihad means effort, to make an effort. It's been used in many, many different ways. There's a big jihad and a small jihad, and some of it is, you know, jihad against your yetzer. Which is why I think it would be not very smart to focus on the word jihad. If you want to prove that Hamas is a terrorist organization, look at what they do. They terrorize. They do terror. They target civilians. They go into parties and they go into houses and they burn entire families alive. That is terrorism. That is not national liberation. Hamas has a history of getting away of from terrorists. It happened in 2015, I think, until 2019. In the European Union, they kind of got away from the terrorists, and then they went back in. And what I hope will happen with this attempt at legitimizing themselves in Britain is that people will talk about what they really did that day, which is terror, 100% terror.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Maybe it'll backfire, but somehow I do worry about it. That was Ohad Merlin. Ohad, thank you for that, and thanks for the work that you do. Wishing you a Chag Sameach and a wonderful, wonderful Pesach.